Blog Talk Radio.
What's your story? What do you believe? What are you willing for others to see? Are you hiding behind some false idea? The time has come to change your thinking and find your mission as you persevere and build a team with a cause that's clear. Challenge yourself and open up.
Welcome to the What It Success Show here at BTR's World of Ink Network with your host, V.S. Grenier, and other host, Marcia Casper Cook. Today is March 9th. It is 1 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific Time. We are here every other Friday to share with you tips on writing, marketing, and just anything that is going on in the publishing world. This is a discussion-based show, so we are always open for you to post comments in our chat room, which is open, or you can always call in and ask myself, V.S. Grenier, or Marcia, and even when we have guests, a question on the topics we're talking about. The call-in number is 714-242-5259. Again, that's 714-242-5259. Good morning, Marcia, or I guess afternoon for you.
Hi, how are you? Hi.
Good.
I was on last night. I feel like I just left.
I wish I got sleep.
A young adult show. Yeah. Young adult. I don't think I've ever had a young adult show. That was the first one.
I think you're right. I think it was your first young adult.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I have a lot of romance
shows. I didn't get to catch it because I was, of course, teaching, and then I came home and just tried to get sleep because I haven't been getting sleep lately, the life of a writer, right?
Well, yeah, I know. Bennett Pomeranz was on with me. He's, you know, the critic. And we also had, Fran Orenstein, and we had Margie Gelwasser, and they were both young adult writers in a different way, and they were both great. You know, it was a very good conversation. It was just different than we usually have because young adult is just such a big market, but there's a lot of things you can't do, and, you know, and some people are just doing them anyway with the young children, you know, for young kids. But that's what goes on in that, you know, that's a different thing for me, but actually my book, Sailor, is a young adult book, and so that's why I'm pushing it on that market now, because I think when I first did it, I think it should probably be in the young adult market because she was 10 years old, so I'm learning about the young adult, which I like, you know, and you're going to write something, I think, in the young adult too, you think, right?
I actually have two books that I'm working on, two manuscripts, and I'm hoping come summer I will get more into the revision process because they're almost complete now.
And I think, you know, I mean, you know, both of us, I mean, I'm in a lot of markets, which, you know, I really need to focus, but I don't think every time I say I'm in the focus, I do something else. So I just, you know, I don't know, but I'm trying to focus. But, okay, should we talk about our guest today, or did you want to talk about anything first before?
Well, the only thing I was going to, that I'll share really quickly is we were supposed to, not next week, because obviously it's spring break, well, it's not, I guess, for everybody, but spring break for those of us out in Utah, and I know some states. So I have no shows going on during spring break. And then the following Monday after spring break, we were supposed to have a Stories for Children show, but we haven't gotten confirmation from the guest. He's out in England. So I don't think I'm going to have any other shows until the Family Matters shows, the Family Matters show and our other What If Success show towards the end of this month. So that's about it for me, so I'm going to be kind of not on very much this month compared to you, Marcia.
Oh, I don't know. Right. I maybe in April I won't do this much, you know, because I do have a few shows. I have an extra show on Friday the 16th. That's about ghosts and paranormal. So we have a lot of people on that show. We have Bennett, Mary Ting. We have Candace O'Donnell. We have Willow Cross. Mm-hmm. And I think Ashley Fontaine's going to come on also, and That should be an interesting show. I've not really done one on goats. We did it, I think, for Halloween, kind of, but not exactly like this will be. And I do have a show on Tuesday, actually, with Joe Prone. And actually, Bennett is going to co-host with me, and so is Candace O'Donnell. And that should be interesting. So, and we, you know, I have shows out every Tuesday planned, but I think maybe in April I won't. But you know me, I know I say I won't, but that doesn't mean anything at all. Yeah. So anyway, all right, so should we, all right, also one thing I wanted to say about your new website, you have everything on
well,
there.
Well, it's our
everything.
New website.
It's well, it's your website with a brand new additions, and everything is on there.
Yes, yes.
All of
it's,
your everything.
It's, yeah, it's the worldofinknetwork.com. I'm going to be tweaking it some more this coming weekend because a few things that we saw on the backside as it was being created looked perfect, but then when we published it, it doesn't look the way we saw it to everybody else. So we will. There's a few.
Yeah, but
things
I, you know, but it, you know, we were talking about that the other day. I actually with Joanne Vandermeer, we were talking because it depends on what kind of computer you have too, and if you know if
well,
you're on an iPad, it really does matter. We'll talk. Maybe we should talk about that a little more.
Yeah, yeah.
During the show, yeah, because that's a big deal. You know, because
yeah,
that does it is different. You know,
it is,
even when
it
I
can.
Do it from home
yeah,
to
and,
here.
And
yeah,
and different
works.
Size monitors. But any, and I,
yeah,
that's why
yeah.
I usually look at everything on three different computers before
but
we
it's
usually
hard.
Publish stuff.
It's very hard
it's
to get it right on everything. Yeah, very
yeah.
hard.
Yeah,
okay,
but
so we should talk about Meg. Let's
yeah,
talk about Meg, and we'll bring. And this is a conversation we could probably add Meg into with that, with you know how everything
uh-huh.
looks out there. Okay, so Meg is, well, we're very happy to have her. She's from Kirkus Review, and everybody knows that name. It's been around for 80 years, and we're really happy to have her today. And she's not just been in this business one year. She's been in for about 14 years, and she's going to tell us all about herself, but we are really happy to have her. So, Meg, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
We're very
oh,
glad
great.
You're here because this will solve a lot of problems and you'll be able to talk about things that we do talk about, but, you know, you'll give it all the credibility that it needs. We'll get the gold star if we're having the show. So that'll
okay.
work. I want to tell everybody how you started your career a little and just what you've been doing so they'll know who you are.
Sure. I started about 14 years ago as a literary publicist. And then a few years after that, I started building a company called Greenleaf Book Group with Clint Greenleaf. And then I did that for 8 years, and then I left and moved into technology for a couple of years where I worked for a company called eLoyalty and led their marketing and inside sales teams, and then was recruited by Kirkus a little over a year ago to lead their business development efforts, and last month I became COO of Kirkus.
So exciting. That is, yeah. It, you know, it's not just any job. It's a huge job.
Yeah, it's all very exciting. Kirkus has made a lot of changes in the last year, and we're in a really interesting spot within the industry right now. So it's been really fun.
Because
yeah,
I think
just,
that, you know, I think everybody always wants to know. Virginia, were you going to say something? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you've gone from very, you know, different, I mean, some they relate to each other to some degree, but, you know, very different type of positions as well. You know, so I think that's just, you know, phenomenal, you know, because I think it gives you a better understanding of the industry, which has probably helped you with what you're doing now with Kirkus.
Yeah.
It does. You know, Kirkus was formerly owned by Nielsen, and Nielsen owned several print publications, and they decided to close down Kirkus. And when they made that decision, a man named Herb Simon, who is just a book lover, found out about it, and he called his good friend and fellow bibliophile Mark Winkleman, and the two of them purchased Kirkus Reviews, and they purchased it
wow.
early 2010, and ever since that acquisition, Kirkus has really sort of taken on this new life. We're probably the oldest startup in the world. But
this particular thing, right, with the reviews, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're really fortunate because what we did last year was we launched a consumer-facing website. You know, Kirkus has been around since 1933, and before the acquisition, it was really just a magazine that went out to mostly librarians, And we reviewed a little over 5,000 books a year, and we helped. They were all pre-publication reviews, so we helped librarians figure out which books they wanted to order for their library in advance of publication. And then after the acquisition, we obviously continued that with our magazine, and we're expanding our distribution through some of the efforts with some nonprofits supporting literacy and donating subscriptions to a lot of school libraries. So even as their as library budgets go down, our circulation's actually going up, which is great. And then we diversified our audience. So last year we launched a consumer-facing website, and we were fortunate because, you know, although we were sort of a startup in that area, you know, we have almost 80 years worth of content. So we had over 300,000 reviews. And we launched our website and built the traffic very quickly. And one of the ways that we built the traffic so fast was by launching the biggest book blogger network online, mm-hmm. where we hired the top bloggers in a few key categories for us. And they brought a lot of high quality traffic of people actively looking for books to buy. So when we made that switch last year, it really sort of changed the face of Kirkus in many ways.
Yeah, and I noticed that Kirkus recently is starting to, I don't want to say recently, but, you know, relative over the last few months, you guys have also got into looking at the apps and interactive type books as well for like iPads and smart devices and stuff. So I think that's really great because that's one area that, in at least for reviews, is still very new and there's not a lot there happening. So I noticed I've seen a few of your guys' reviews for some of the interactive books.
So. What we did was last year we started reviewing book apps, and so not just ebooks. We wanted we'll review an ebook if that's the first format that it comes out with, just like we review any other book. But in our book app section, we're looking for books that are interactive and that engage the readers. And there are more published in the children's area than any other area. So there's a high concentration of children's book apps in our section. Mm-hmm. That was a really special thing for us to start doing because there wasn't anyone out there curating that space. And, you know, these are paid apps, and so there's no other place for a consumer to go to actually see if this is any good before they pay the $5 or $10 for that book app. And so we started that early 2011, actually late 2010 was when we first released it, so throughout the year 2011. And it was a really successful push for us because we do review so many children's books that we already had a pretty strong audience of mommies.
Yeah, and it makes sense that that's
one of the problems that I think we all face here, because I think that, well, Virginia, that is definitely her show, you know, Stories for Children, but I write children's books myself, Virginia does too, and one of the problems which we hear all day long is nobody's selling children's books. I mean, they're having a hard time selling children's books these days because the iPad, you know, still the kids don't have iPads, and that's, you know, the biggest market now, the ebook, but not exactly for the children. So how do you feel it proceeding now? Do you think this is going to be very good? I mean, hopefully that's what people hope for that, you know.
I think they're different, you know. I think, I mean, as a mother myself, so I have a 2-year-old, and I know that my son loves playing on my iPad, and he really loves books. So for me, as a consumer in this market, I don't see a competition. Books haven't replaced, I mean, the iPad hasn't replaced books in my family, and I think a lot of parents are seeing that. It's a different experience.
Yeah, I guess when I go to school, that's what they say. Right,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, my son will choose Llama, Mrs. Mama over the iPad any day. He loves his books first. But he also likes the iPad, and it's neat. It engages a different part of his mind, you know, the kind of apps that we recommend, you know, the ones that really engage the children and ask them to move their finger a certain way, and then they see a result. So they see sort of cause and effect of different behaviors and that sort of thing. I think they're just different. It's a different form of media. I don't think one necessarily takes from the other.
Well, I love that.
Do you offer services? Do you offer services of the apps for to make, you know, to do apps for people or, you know, the children's
we
book
don't.
Authors?
No,
no,
no, we don't. We don't do any of that. We don't do any publishing. What Kirkus does is,
right.
you know, we were the services that we have for authors are really around reviews and editorial work in general. So Kirkus in 2005 launched a sort of sister publication called Kirkus Discoveries, and it was because we were receiving so many submissions from self-publishers, and we really didn't have the resources to cover this segment. I mean, there are so many books self-published every year. Where do you even begin? And, you know, we pay professional reviewers to review our books, but this isn't, you know, we don't have volunteers doing this. It's quite expensive to review books. But and it didn't serve our paid subscribers at that time. And even now, most of our subscribers are librarians, and a lot of librarians can't order self-published books. And so we couldn't justify the investment in it, but the authors still wanted the reviews, and I think they wanted them for one of two reasons, or both. You know, they wanted some professional, unbiased feedback. You know, a lot of them were working on islands for so long, they wanted to know from a professional, is this any good? You know, my mom likes it, this Kirkus.
Right.
And then the second reason is they were, you know, hoping for a positive review, because if they got a positive review, they could use that quote on their back cover or on their product page online. And, you know, when you don't have the credibility associated with a major house, it helps to have an unbiased third party endorsing the book. And so we launched this discovery section of the magazine, or it's actually kind of a separate magazine at that time, so that authors could, if they wanted a review, they could purchase a review, and they had to finance it, but we would give them a professional, unbiased review. And so, you know, they couldn't buy a positive review, but they could buy an honest review. And that's what was originally conceived. And it grew and grew and grew. And last year, when we launched our consumer-facing site, we really put a lot of thought into our self-published section, and we renamed it Indie. And folded it in as a full section in our magazine, because we really see the work that we're doing in the indie section is very special for consumers, because like the children's book apps, there's nobody else out there really curating the self-published space, particularly not within a space that is known for curating the same work that the major houses are putting out. So, and the interesting part about that is we don't think that consumers necessarily say, I would like to read a self-published book right now. Consumers want a good book. And,
right, they don't, you know.
They just want to see everything that's out there. What's the best stuff? And that's what Kirkus covers. We cover the best of the best, and we tell you what's the best, and we tell you what's the worst. And if it's by Random House, fine. If it's by a mid-sized publisher, we'll tell you that. If it's by a self-publisher, we'll tell you that. And so we really see the indie section of Kirkus as a special place where people can find really good books that they're never going to find on the front table of Barnes & Noble. And so then indie really grew, because suddenly it was more than just a place where you could get feedback and maybe a quote for your cover. Suddenly authors were getting discovered. So authors are getting picked up by major houses because they were reading our magazine and reading these reviews and saying, well, wait a minute, if Kirkus thinks they're good, they must be really good because we know they're tough. And consumers were suddenly saying, you know, I'm going to give this unknown author a chance because Kirkus thinks it's good. There's somebody out there who's unbiased is saying that this is good. And, you know, last year the Wall Street Journal did a profile on a woman named Darcy Chan. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with her, but it's a really inspiring story of this woman who was turned down by all the major houses. She decided to self-publish. She went the e-book route only, and she sold over 500,000 copies of her e-book. And the Wall Street Journal went to her and said, how did you do this? This is phenomenal, because we all know this is a rare thing for that to happen.
Yeah.
And they said, what did you do? And she said, I did three things. I priced it really low. I advertised on a few e-reader sites, and I bought a Kirkus review. And that was really meaningful to a lot of people, and, you know, including to us. You know, it meant a lot to hear. We knew that some authors were getting picked up by the houses, but it was great to see this consumer side of it where, you know, people were coming back and saying, I got this review in July. That's, I think we reviewed in either June or July. And in December, we hear about all these sales. So you know, Crocus became sort of this really interesting thing last year. You know, not only did we get this big consumer audience, but suddenly we became this platform for these indie authors to get discovered. And so this year, you know, we were looking at other ways that we can really serve this audience because it's growing so fast. Mm-hmm. And so we launched book editing services for them. And it's totally separate from the review side of our business. But Kirkus is now, what we did was we built out, you know, Kirkus is known for our network, right? We have over 500 reviewers
right.
who review for Kirkus. And so what we did was we built up a network of book editors. And in order to be in our network, you had to have edited for one of the nation's top publishers. And we define the top publishers as one of the major six, an award-winning independent publisher, an award-winning meaning you publish books, you know, that have won Pulitzer Prize and, you know, Man Booker Prize, et cetera, or a notable genre publisher such as Harlequin. And if their portfolio meets our standards, then we go through some thorough testing, and then they can be our network of editors. And now a self-publisher or just an unpublished author who has no interest in self-publishing but wants to edit the manuscript before they start soliciting agent representation
right,
or publishers.
Right. They should. Yeah, absolutely, because we talked about this.
Right.
They have to do that.
Yeah,
it's like the number
that
one. Virginia and I say that. Virginia is an editor. And the truth is you have to have that. And, you know, no matter how many times we tell everybody and we tell people, they go like, oh, my friend's doing it, my, you know, and this one's an English teacher. And if they're not an editor
right. –
they have to get an editor.
And it's got to be it's someone, and the reason why we're very particular about who we hire, you can be a very talented editor, but we want people with experience in commercial publishing because it's a whole different ballgame. And so now, and Kirkus really is the first one to come out and say, not only do we only hire editors who have worked with commercial publishers, only the best commercial publishers, but you can just go online, pay with a credit card, upload your manuscript and get your editorial feedback from one of these editors. So, you know, this is a big, exciting new step for Kirkus to continue to serve these authors because we see, you know, a major shift in the industry, as I'm sure everybody sees.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
and as we're speaking, it's probably changing right this minute, you know. And the thing is that, you know, because every time, you know, I'm looking for somebody, then you go on another site, but there's so much to do out there. But the truth of the matter is, which I talked to you about before, the one thing that everybody wants to know is why are they not selling this many books? It happens. I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore. It's a constant. Everybody's worrying if they sell a book, if this one likes a book. They really have to just worry about making a good story, and hopefully somebody will find it and like it. But there's more PR done and marketing done now than actually working on stories because people are becoming just – that's all they think about.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's – I don't think it's good – to be thinking constantly about selling your book. I mean, I think it's more important to get good books out there because we don't know. I mean, nobody knows how long this is going to last. I mean, something might change, you know, but for right now, this is a great time for authors. They're actually getting in places where they never would have gone. They've never been out like this.
And now credibility is a big part of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're asking a reader to take a chance on you, then you better deliver something good. And when you are self-publishing, you don't have, and, you know, in defense of self-publishers who, you know, whose work isn't on par with the major houses, they haven't previously had access to these editors. And that was such a gaping hole in the industry, and it was why we wanted to fill it, because they haven't really been able to do that in the past easily. You know, I mean, you really had to have connections
really
in the right place
and,
in order
and
to
like
do that.
And before, it just can't be anybody editing it. See, that's the thing.
Right.
People, they come to me and they come to Virginia and they say, like, yes, it's been edited. But that statement does not always work. You know, I mean, it doesn't because, you know, who edited it? You know, and I've seen books in Virginia. I mean, we see books that we had Emma Dryden, I think I mentioned, from Simon & Schuster, too, when I talked to you. And she said there's a lot of editors out there that have so much experience that, you know, the bigger houses have laid off some people. So people are very lucky now to get these great editors that are really helping them along.
But it's hard to find.
They never would have had
them
before.
And that's what we had to build up. You know, you can't just do a Google search and then find the perfect editor for your book, and that's what we wanted to change. at Kirkus, you can submit your book, and we go to great lengths to assign the editor, the specific editor who's most qualified to work on your book. And, you know, part of it, too, is there wasn't a credible outlet for this, you know. You might be able to Google and find one freelancer, but then that one freelancer has to have just the right mix of experience for you. That freelancer hasn't been vetted by anybody. And so, you know, they're and just because they worked at the major house doesn't mean that they're great. And, you know, there needs to be an extra layer of vetting for quality. Yeah. And so, you know, we're excited about the service because as self-publishing continues to grow, you know, the authors need to think about more than just taking on the PR and marketing responsibilities of the publishing houses, as you're talking about, Marcia. You need to think about the quality of your work, and you need to think about your reputation and the full extent of your potential. So when thinking about content, it shouldn't just be, you know, do I have any grammatical errors, although that's a part of it. You need someone with an eye for, okay, this is edited, you know, using the same style guidelines as a publisher, because that's what a reader is going to expect. And, you know, beyond that, is there anything you can do? If you put out sloppy work and then you manage to sell them because you're really good at marketing, that's fine, but it's going to go away really fast. Yeah. If you edit it well and you put out a high-quality product, then not only will you be able to sell them, you might get picked up by a publisher that will give you a large enough advance for future work that you would be able to spend more time on your craft, and you might also be able to sell film rights, foreign rights, and things like that. So I do think that there's a big opportunity for self-publishers now to have access to resources that they never had access to before, and hopefully, Kirkus will be the one to fill that.
Meg, I have a question for you.
Go ahead, Virginia.
Just because we're talking about services and stuff, and Marcia and I talk about this a lot, because there are more people who are, you know, self-publishing, and especially in the e-book market, and, you know, the problem that we see, and it's not just because, you know, we offer to help people as well. We hear this in the as writers around other writers groups that we're with from friends who are writers or acquaintances that we know from writing groups. And a lot of them think that they should get pretty much the type of editing skill level and marketing level that big publishers put out for nothing to, like, barely anything out of pocket.
Yeah.
Being at Kirkus in the
they
fact
have to
that
pay.
They do...
They, right, I think the market is the way it is, right? Like, we talked about that. They need to pay some services. I'm not an editor, and I always say I'm not. And, you know, I pay for services. But, and we want to help them. And the thing is, Virginia.
I just see a lot of reluctance from people wanting to pay for stuff. Like, you know, or they try and find the cheapest deal out there. And I'm just wondering, are you seeing that a little bit at Kirkus as well, that some people are being a little resistant, to your services and your fees because they think, wow, that's a lot of money and I don't want to pay that much because I can go over here and have someone edit it, 50 cents to a dollar a page, but this person isn't, you know, like you said, like how your editors are, you know, from, you put them through a really big, you know, process to even, before you even add them to your pool to know that they're good quality editors. I mean, I'm just curious, with you being in
I think they're different markets. I think they're different markets. You know, and I think it comes down to a certain level of just, you know, what people can afford.
Right.
You know, and I think as long as people understand that a lot of times you get what you pay for, you know, if you're asking your buddy to edit a book for you, that's fine. It is free. Rock on, you know. The chances of your buddy being really qualified to do that are slim. And so if you have access to resources and you're able to do it right, you should do it right for all the reasons that we're talking about. But, I mean, it's always going to exist. I don't think it's a new thing that, you know, some people can't afford it. I do think that with self-publishing, there's a lot of education needed for the market where, you know, there's a lot out there. You can get everything for free.
Definitely.
You can get everything for free.
That's
right.
I think, you know, for Kirkus, we don't encounter too much of that because of our market. You know, our market, I think, is pretty educated on publishing. Kirkus has always attracted a pretty literary audience.
Right.
And we've been around for a long time. So I think part of it is that Kirkus has a good bit of brand credibility, and so people might feel more comfortable spending money with us than maybe someone that they don't know of or hasn't been around as long.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm sure there are lots of people out there choosing not to, you know, get their books reviewed with Kirkus because they don't want to spend the money. That's absolutely, I'm sure that they're out there. We don't hear from those people, obviously, but no doubt
right,
that they're
right.
there. And
yeah,
a lot of people just don't have the money, you know, and that's what they'd love to.
Yeah, and I get budget, constrictions for people and stuff, and the fact that, they don't have big marketing budgets. But I know there's authors that have been writing for years, and they're just like, well, I know you can do a lot of this for free, or I can do it myself. And I'm sort of thinking, but do you really know what you're doing? Yeah, you can teach yourself.
Yeah.
But is it going to? And that's kind of what I wanted for you to share is the fact that, you need to educate yourself on really what you're getting yourself into because,
right.
and those are a lot of the authors that I hear later. They're like, well, I'm not really selling very many books, or I'm not selling any books. And I'm just thinking, well, are you looking at your marketing strategy and how you went about doing this? And maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, I do think my opinion is for being in this business for so many years, I feel this way. Years ago, I can understand what people say, like, they don't want to pay for the service, they don't want to do that, because when they send it to a publisher, that they'll do everything. Well, if you don't send it in good shape, I can tell you right now, they're not taking it. They think in years ago, if they send a manuscript that's not really great, that they'll have their editors fix it. That's not going to happen. They want to see a good version of what you have. They don't want to see something that they have to fix up. It's too much competition now. They want to see a good book. And when you go out and spend a lot of money, now Virginia knows this for a fact, because I've sent her people that they have had editing jobs, and they've paid top dollar, and it needs to be re-edited because they just chose anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, most manuscripts, when you're published by a major house, the manuscript's going to go through multiple rounds of editing.
Yes.
To get a manuscript edited once, frankly, unless you just happen to be that gifted, you probably still need another round of editing. But, ultimately, I think part of the reluctance to spend money is because of the old way of publishing. There was a time when spending money with anyone who charged money was a crook in this industry.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And so, you rewind just 20 years. And 20 years ago, if somebody was asking you to pay money to have your book edited, well, you better run because that person isn't legitimate. Those days are long gone. But I don't know that everybody has gotten the memo just yet.
As an agent, I've read articles myself, okay? I've done this for probably 16 years. I've been a WGA agent, okay? And I know for a fact, they say on the internet over and over and over again, if you pay an agent, she's a crook, he's a crook. And you know what? That really is not fair, but that's why I've never been able to charge anybody because of that. But I can help them. I've done this for years. I know what they need to do. And you can't expect me to keep an office open and have employees and make no money because that's what happened. And so I think if people really, like you're saying now, it was the old school. They have to change over and realize you need to have an editor, you need to have an agent, but sometimes the agent might have to charge you because, like even years ago when we used to, before, all the emails, postage, sometimes they would let you charge it, but it gets very expensive sending packages. When you send UPS out now, it's not cheap. So I used to send tons of stuff out. And I picked it up the cost myself, a lot of it. And, how many people want to do that for new writers? That's not going to happen. I was a writer myself, and I understood.
The other thing is, publishers aren't acquiring the work that they used to acquire, and they're not paying out the advances that they used to pay out. And so agents, by only making a commission on that, are making less. Authors are making less. Publishers are making less. Like, it's not because publishers are evil or that they don't care about the authors.
It's nothing like that.
It's just the market. And there have been major shifts in the book market. And so a lot of dynamics have changed, but I understand the hesitance to pay because there are a lot of, it's hard to figure out. You need to go online and you start researching editorial work and publishing and self-publishing. And it's very confusing, you know, because there are a lot of outfits out there that, you know, maybe don't do the best work and still charge. And so I really think it's a matter of, you know, doing proper research, really looking into the organization and or the people involved. And but I mean, I think that it's there's a certain amount of skepticism that's healthy for authors to have. But I do think that they need to educate themselves about the changes in the market over the past 20 years.
I mean, that's why I'm glad you're saying this. And, you know, when Emma Dryden was on also, because Virginia and I are very happy when we have people of your caliber coming on these shows, because this is, you know, telling people, yes, we're trying to explain this to you. And now, you know, because Kirkus has all the credibility of an 80-year-old company, then listen and really pay attention to what we've tried to tell you, because we can help you. I mean, I know that if I say, you know, I don't like to tell people that their work isn't right, but I know sometimes I have to, and I've just started. That's really been difficult for me to do that. So, because I used to take everybody on thinking I could help everybody, but I don't think that's possible because I'm only like a person. But I wanted to, and I think that a lot of people have stopped writing, but if they would just listen to some of the things, like even if I send them to, I'm not a publisher, if I send them somewhere to a publisher that I've gone to that to self-publish a book, I would hope that they would look at the book and say, yes, this, they did a good job, okay, and don't go somewhere else. And when they come to me, back to me, they'll say like, oh, my God, I've spent $10,000 and I have nothing. And then what can I do then? They've already spent the money. So one good thing about Blog Talk Radio is they're having, like, all of these shows, I listen to a lot of them, and Virginia and I talk about this, we are giving information that is, I wish I would have had 10 years ago, you know, or 15 years ago. So I think that, you know, with Kirkus changing, I think that's good for everyone.
Thank you.
In general. Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I think the people that took it over, then it's a very smart idea. They have you now that will go and help them because you've been around. You just didn't start yesterday, and you know what it was like before, but you also know that it needed to have changes.
Yeah, I love the fact that Kirkus is doing this as well because, you know, I've had a lot of authors that before when I was talking to them 5 years ago about, you know, and not even just people who had self-published, people who are like with small or medium-sized publishers. So, you know, they have restricted marketing budgets, so they had to use their advance to, you know, help promote their book. And I would, you know, I was talking about author platforms, you know, 5 years ago before that was really becoming, you know, a catchphrase for people to use. And everybody's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like, well, my background's marketing, and I'm telling you, you know, you can't, you have, you're a product too as an author, and you have to start thinking that way. It's not just your books anymore. And I talk to people, and they're just like, huh. And then I've had a few people who've, you know, who've had reviews done through Kirkus, and they're just like, oh my gosh, still. And I'm just like, I'm going, duh, I was telling you this a while ago. But, you know, sometimes it takes somebody like Kirkus, who's been around, like Marcia said, for years to say, you need to start doing these things, too. And then they go, oh, okay.
I mean, because when Emma was on, she was talking about things that I tell people, you know, and she's consulting, and she was great. But, you know, I've told these for free. I've told people the same things, and so is Virginia. And that's why with you telling people right now, I think this is a good thing, because what we're all in the same business of trying to get good stories out there. And that's and it can be from self-published people because there's some excellent writers that are self-published. And
there's so much talent out there.
Yeah, there's
a great deal of talent out there, and they shouldn't get discouraged because of what's going on in the publishing industry. You know, we want to connect readers with great books. We don't care how they're published. We review all of the major houses' big books. We review all of the notable mid-size and independent publishers' new books. And we don't care if it's Random House or Abrams or Harlequin or a self-publisher. We just want readers to find good books. And as publishers are acquiring fewer and fewer, and they have to, you know, in their defense, they are really, really looking at some – major issues in the industry. They are fighting their own battles right now.
True, because what you're saying right now is really true. It's nothing. It's just the way things are. Money is not the way it was 10 years ago, and the way it is now. So I think that all of these changes. You know, I think that it's change is always good. So, you know, it is good. And I mean, you know, nobody would have thought, like, I'm the first to say this. 10 years ago, when I have people come to me and, you know, they did a book, I said, do not do this. I said, you can't. There's just no way. It's not good for your career to do a self-published book. It won't work. You might as well forget the book because that was then. But that's not how it is now.
Right. And now, I mean, we want people to, we don't want people to give up or to, prevent readers from getting the story that's awesome, you know, that they're going to be curled up, and we want people to continue reading, and that means people have to continue writing. And if they're not writing because of the dynamics that are happening in the publishing industry, and those aren't looking good right now, you know, I mean, they have lots of battles right now that they're fighting, and it has nothing to do with authors and the quality of their content. And so while that's shaking out, they need to keep writing, and they need to get their books out there. They just, you know, need to do it the right way. But like I said, I think it's really just, it's going to take some time, and it takes some research, and the market's going to shift. It's going to continue to shift. And as that happens, you know, authors are going to become more educated about what it's really going to require to be successful.
Now, I have a question.
The biggest question. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I have a question for you, Meg, because I want to kind of talk about reviews a little bit. One of the big things
Morrison and I see
happen a lot is her reviews.
Like
my book on Amazon, like my book on Facebook. You know, I need to try and get 50 to 100 reviews on my book because that's going to sell my book, move me up in the rankings. And I'm not saying that doesn't help. However, I think when you have, you know, Bob and Susie and George, that are your next-door neighbors or friends at church or coworkers doing your book review versus, you know, someone like Kirkus or Midwest Book Review and places like that, people look at the reviews, but I don't think they take them as seriously. I mean, and maybe that's just my misperception because I'm still in old school thinking of reviews, but I'm just kind of curious, Meg, like, what's your thought process on, you know, the type of reviews you get as an author? You know, like, does any review help you? I mean, obviously they do to some degree, or do you think it's better to focus on getting reviews from places like Kirkus and Midwest Book Review, and, you know, it'd be great if you can get one from the New York Times, and, you know, obviously, you know, the bigger heavy hitters, you think that having just a few of those reviews are going to be more of an impact than having 100 reviews from everybody in your city?
I think that it's all a credibility game online. You know, there are a lot of products, and since you cannot Google good book and get one that you're guaranteed to like, people are looking for some voice to trust. And I think that there are layers of credibility that a consumer goes through, even subconsciously, before picking a book. I think if you go to Amazon and there's only one review, it might send up a flag. Like, that's kind of weird that this book doesn't have any consumer reviews, so I think it helps to have some. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to make or break you, or maybe it won't make you. Perhaps it'll break if you don't have any. But, like, the value of a Kirkus review, I mean, I think back to the Darcy Chan story. We called Darcy after we actually found out about her success from the Wall Street Journal. They called us to do some fact-checking, and they said, we're doing a story on Darcy Chan. And I said, who's Darcy Chan?
Fact-checking is a good thing.
And they said, you reviewed her book. I said, we reviewed 7,000 books this year. Which one?
And
they said, well, this one sold 500,000 copies. So I said, wow, you know, so she told me the gist of the story, and we talked to Darcy, and Darcy said, you know, Meg, I think what Kirkus did for me is when people were looking at the book and deciding, you know, yes or no, am I going to buy this, it gave her some credibility as an unknown author. And that I don't think you get from a consumer. I don't think Joe Blow is going to make a consumer think, oh, this must be good. I think about movie reviews, and, you know, I care about the consumer ratings, I guess, a little. You know, if they were really bad, that's going to make an impression on me. But yeah, consumer reviews might keep me from purchasing, but they won't make me purchase, if that makes sense. Like,
right,
the negative has
I don't know that the positive does. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Because just to help back up what you're saying, because when I look at stuff, I'm like, okay, that's great that 50 people love this movie or love this book that are just your average everyday person, but who's to say their sense of humor, their sense of satire is the same as mine?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, it's like with the Academy Awards.
Mainly, people don't know what these consumers, they're not familiar with their standards.
Yeah.
So what
right.
helps with having Kirkus review is that you know what our standards, you know that our standards are high, you know that we know what we're talking about. So if we say this is good, this is good.
Right.
And you don't know that from just Joe Blow on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. See, when I see a movie, like if I go to a movie and, you know, my husband was sitting next to me and you know, he'll sometimes come to movies that people say, oh, this is not a good movie. So then we're sitting in the movie and I said to him, so what do you think? He goes, well, this is good. So I'm thinking, like, right, so we're here because I write screenplays, so I naturally want to see them. I want to see good and bad. But more times than not, he always says, yeah, this is good. I said, right, because you have to sometimes have your own opinion, you know, and it's not the worst thing to walk out of a show and say, oh, I don't think I should have seen this, but I saw it, you know. But I like, when I see a bad movie, I go like, great, because maybe some of the people that I have as clients will sell their movies, you know. And so I really think that sometimes you have to read things and do things for yourself and make your own opinion up. Don't go somewhere or read a book because somebody said it wasn't good. Give it a shot. Or a lot of times, like on Amazon and different places, they give you a few pages to see, you know, if it might not be the right book for you, don't read it.
I think that the Kirkus, you know, Kirkus is so tough. I personally think that, you know, a negative review from Kirkus won't necessarily keep someone from buying it, but a positive review says a lot.
Yes.
In other words, if you look up a book you love on our site,
yeah,
I promise you we'll have a negative review of at least 3 out of 5 of the books you love. But if you look at the books that we review positively, I can all but guarantee you'll love it because we're really tough.
Yeah.
And so our reviewers, frankly, have higher standards than most readers, myself included.
when I had script writers, I do the same. I was a very tough reader because I didn't take everybody, you know, at certain times because I wanted to help new people and I did take new clients, but I thought that they had promised, but I never sent any. That's why I'm still doing this. I've never sent anybody a bad script. I would never do that because it had to be written well. It may not be in the genre that I may love, but it had to be written well, and it had to have a good story, and it was just something that could sell. Because I try to be the type of person that doesn't, just because I might not like that genre, I doesn't mean that it's not a good screenplay.
Oh, thank you for saying that, Marcia.
In the books.
We have to. We're very particular about having genre experts review each book, and so you know, we're not going to have someone who, you know, only likes literary fiction reviewing a sci-fi book. So we do take great care. Our editors take great care in assigning each book to an appropriate editor. I mean, reviewers.
That's what's so important because if you have somebody who, let's say, only likes. And I get this because I teach a basic writing course for my community college in their continuing education program, and I write children's literature, young adult, and you know, all the way down to picture books. I have my magazine Stories for Children magazine, which is for ages 3 to 12 years old. So I'm heavily embedded in the YA and children's market. But I love horror. Stephen King is my favorite author. However, when I go to read a picture book that someone sends me, I can't look at it from my love of Stephen King and horror because it's a totally different genre. And I think that sometimes that's what I see at least happening on Amazon is you have people who just review any book, but it's not their favorite genre of the book. So they're not as good at looking at, you know, what makes a good story for that specific genre. So I love the fact that Kirkus, that you guys pair up, you know, people who are, you know, like those genres, know those genres, because it's so true. I mean, I have to switch brains as an editor when I'm editing something that's romance versus somebody that's sending me something that's, you know, it's an action-packed thriller, because it's so different in their dynamics.
Right. And it's
what,
really,
you know,
the only way to give a professional, unbiased review.
It
would be biased if someone were reviewing a genre that they didn't know anything about, or if they had a personal bias against, right? So if I
right.
personally didn't like romance, then I shouldn't be reviewing romance, because you have to be able
right.
to, you know, give a professional review of how does this stack up. And so, yeah, that's a very important part
well,
of the review
process.
Well, I agree
with you. You know, on my show, like my other show, you know, Good Story is a Good Story, I have had Virginia knows. I say, oh, Virginia, I'm going to have this kind of show and that kind of show. I mean, I have horror shows. I have with all the different kinds of authors, and I love it because it's giving everybody a chance to get out there and talk. And basically, when it comes down to it, when we have the discussions, it's the same about writing and PR and things like that. It's just they write a different genre. And so it's opened up a lot of people's minds as to saying, like, oh, you know, maybe I'll read horror. And I never looked at it. You know what I mean? I think it's just people aren't exposed to it. So I think when you expose people to everything and, you know, in the proper way, I think that it works, you know, for a lot of people. And, you know, I think I've had different types of romance writers because there are so many types. You know, there's
yeah,
sweet romance, erotica, you know, and it's, you know, like I'll say to Virginia, oh, this was a good show, I had all these people on and their people on, but I've learned a lot and I've done this forever. So if I can learn something from doing this for almost 20 years, I think that people should open up and try to listen to not only our shows but other shows, because you're having authors on that you never would have had before and they're getting a taste of a different genre. So maybe that's a good, I think it's a good thing for me. At least, I, you know, it's my opinion.
I think so, too. And there, you know, there can be a lot of, you know, a good reviewer will point out when a book would make a good crossover book. So, for example, you know, if there's a book that is a fantasy book and it's very good, but really you have to be a fan of fantasy to love it, then our reviewer
yeah.
might say that. Our reviewer might say, this is fantastic if you have a passion for this genre. On the other hand, it might be a sci-fi book that really anybody would love. And the reviewer will say that. You know, this book is not just for sci-fi lovers. If you enjoy a really good adventure story or love story, you're still going to love this book. And, you know, that's all part of having an expert review it, to know who really knows the audience and knows the genre and knows what kind of book is perfect for that specific audience and which one could really break out.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's a great idea what Kirkus is doing now. I mean, I know Virginia, we both, you know, this is very mm-hmm. good because this changes a lot of things for people. And I think that, you know, the way what our discussion today is about, you know, different genres and getting reviews. Now, I know it's expensive, so when we talked about this, you don't only just do the review. You put them on your website. So do you want to talk just a few minutes about what else you do for them for, you know, because it's,
well,
it's an expensive price. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, you know, what
yeah.
for those, you know, listeners that have books or have a book coming out soon, what process do they need to go through to get a review with Kirkus, and then what you do for them so they understand, you know, the everything that's entailed,
right.
because I think sometimes people just go, oh, they're just going to put it on Amazon and send me the review and then I have to post it everywhere, and they don't really get that there's a lot involved.
Yeah, so what we do is for the book editing service, you know, if they go to our site, which is kirkusreviews.com, and then click on author services in the top navigation, they can read about all the different editorial services that we offer and very specifically what's involved in each. You know, for example, we have one service called collaborative editing where they can upload their manuscripts, and when it's complete, they can track the process online, so they'll have a little dashboard that'll show exactly when an editor has been assigned, when the editorial work starts, and then when it's ready, they'll get an email. They can download the editor's feedback that's in a letter, just giving them sort of big picture feedback on their book, and then the manuscript that has all of the corrections as well as some sort of big picture stylistic notes. And then they'll have instructions on how to set up a one-hour consultation with that editor. And then we have copy editing services and things like that. And then what they do at that point is totally up to them. They can just use that manuscript and then market it to publishers and agents. They can self-publish it with another company. They can do whatever they want. Now, if they choose to self-publish and then they come to us for review, If they go to a major house, then the publisher will submit the galley for review 3 to 4 months prior to publication. If they self-publish, then at any time, once the manuscript is complete, it doesn't have to be at press yet, but at least it's complete, then they can purchase a review on our site, and again, that's KirkusReviews.com, and that's called Kirkus Indie. Then go into Indie, purchase the review, and then if they order standard service, then in 7 to 9 weeks, they'll get the review back. If they get express service, it'll be in 4 to 6 weeks, and the review is returned via email. When they see that review, they can decide if they want to keep it private, and if so, no one will ever see it, or if they want to publish it on our site. If they choose to publish it, they can just reply to the email and say, this is great, I want to publish it on the site, and we publish it on the site at no cost to the author. And the site, it's pretty notable exposure because our site gets over 200,000 unique visitors every month. Mm-hmm. And again, it'll be, you know, on a site alongside, you know, Random House's big releases. And it'll also, if they choose to publish it on the site, we'll also include it in our content feed to licensees. So Google Books and BarnesandNoble.com, Baker & Taylor, Ingram's, and about 15 other companies license our content. They buy our content, and we'll send them the review for their databases. So it'll also appear on their sites and in their systems. And then it'll also be considered for publication in our magazine. Our editor selects 17 to 20 reviews to publish in the indie section of our magazine, and our magazine comes out twice a month. The selections are 100% at his discretion, and he usually chooses the strongest reviews in a variety of genres. And then he also picks one to feature in our email newsletter, which goes to 45,000 subscribers. So there's quite a bit of distribution and promotion if they do choose to publish the review. And on the flip side, you know, if they get the review back and it's not positive and they want to keep it private, they can just use that feedback to improve their craft.
Mm-hmm. Right. See, it's not just, okay, you're going to get a book review. You get
right.
a lot for the money. You know,
yeah,
and
you
I, you know,
what?
Years ago, I would never have thought of this either, but the truth of the matter is, seeing how hard it is to market and seeing how difficult this all is, and it's about time people probably realize something, that if their book is not that good, they have to move on. You know, I mean, you know, I myself have had rejections with screenplays, and that some are optioned. I know how to get rejection, so I think that rejection, it used to make me just go further and make me want to write more. You know, and get better. And I know when I look at my old things that I wrote, I go, no, I think I shouldn't have gotten published, and I think the script wasn't ready. And, you know, I know this now. So I think that if you stay in this business long enough, you realize sometimes that, no, you weren't ready. You know.
And here's a question I want to ask before our time runs up. Because there's a lot of authors I know who are probably listening and going, okay, that's great, but I have a book I published 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and you know, so it's basically more of a backlist book for them, and they never thought about having Kirkus, you know, do a review for them. Now they're sort of thinking, maybe I will this. Sorry, it's material. Maybe I will now. So would you say that it's better to get a review from Kirkus toward, the, you know, when it's pre-publication or just been released as an indie book, or do you say it's okay if it's been 3, 4, 5 years later to still get that review? I mean, because some places will say move on, and some places will say, well, in this case, yeah, it's you're perfectly fine doing it later.
Yeah, for indie, we don't put any publication date restrictions on submissions, and it's because self-publishing works differently than traditional publishing, and there are a lot of people who published fabulous books, and maybe they didn't have the money to promote them 3 years ago, and now they do. And we just want to discover good books. We don't care in indie if it's, you know, 5 years old or not. Now, the reason it matters for the traditional publishers is because we're reviewing those books primarily for our magazine, and the libraries want to know what's coming out. You know, so like a month before, they want to know what's coming out. So we do have submission guidelines for the major houses, for self-publishers, it's very different. You know, we're really marketing those books to our consumer audience and to publishers and agents. And, you know, we're just looking for great content. So we don't have any publication date restrictions for indie.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's good. So consumers can go to Kirkus Review, and then they can look and see if there is a review on the book that they might be thinking of reading. And so, you know, that, I mean, to me it sounds, you know, look, years ago I think it might have been, you know, not the way that I would have thought to go. But I actually, after talking to you the other day and just thinking about all these things and listening to everybody, I actually think this is not a bad idea for people, because I know what's going on, and I think it is expensive, but sometimes rather than either stop writing or either maybe someone's going to stop, it really shouldn't stop.
Yeah, well, and I have to agree with you, Marcia, because, and that's why I kind of asked about the indie thing, because back when my book, Babysitting Sugar Paw, came out, which is a picture book, which was in 2009, I actually knew that Kirkus was starting to offer indie authors the, you know, you could pay to have a review done. And I looked, and I was like, you know, and I still had that in the back of your head, like we were talking about earlier. Well, you know, and not that I thought you guys were shy, just because I knew you guys weren't by any means, because, you know, I'm very aware of the company, but I was still hesitant because I'm like, well, why are they charging for reviews now? And so I didn't do it then. And, you know, but now I'm starting to think it's probably a mistake I made, and now I need to correct that.
Send it in.
Yeah, even myself, I mean, I actually have to admit, I am thinking about this myself. And, you know, I mean, I know Virginia and I probably, even last year we would have gone like, oh, no, I don't think so. But I think that because, you know, having you on and listening to every service that you offer, I mean, this is so much better than sitting out there and really just not knowing what to do or just like, forgetting about it. For maybe, you know, it can help a lot of these people out there. And we can talk about this because I think that Virginia and I get this question all the time, and we talk about it all the time. So we will add this probably to our conversation, because it is not just sending your book in for review. It's really an opportunity of really marketing your book in a good, positive way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we're always amazed at the feedback that we get in these success stories, because, like I was telling you earlier, when this started, it was really, you know, to give people a review, give them some feedback, and maybe they can use it for their cover. And we really had no idea how this would blow up, and it's been amazing.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, on our side, it's really sort of the heart and soul of where Kirkus is going right now, because they're very touching stories. You know, we'll get an email from an author who, we had one author who got a very positive review. She got a Kirkus star and started advertising the review and trying to drive more traffic to it. And in the first week of her campaign, she was emailing me saying, Meg, I've already gotten 4 queries from literary agents. She got interest from an overseas publisher about the rights, and she forwarded an email to me that was from a senior editor at one of the major publishers saying, I read the Kirkus review. This is great. Please let me know when you have material available if you'd like to discuss this. And so people were actually reaching out to her. And, you know, we get story
good.
After story after about this.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's kind of life-changing for them. And so it's really
touching. And I think it's
hear
great.
Those
I
stories.
Absolutely do. I think it's absolutely great, because you know, when I talked to you the first time, I said to Virginia, I said, you know, that Meg was really nice. I mean, I, you know, for years, you know, when you do this, you don't realize, you know, because the indie, I mean, this is such a good thing for people to actually know that self-publishing can help, can actually get them somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
right.
not for nothing that they're doing all of this. So I think this is, I think it's a very positive thing. But Virginia and I both agree on this, I know.
Yeah.
Because we'll probably talk about it later, say, all right, what should we do? I know this. You know, because the truth is that all this marketing doesn't always work.
Right.
And 200,000 hits a month is pretty good. I mean, that's
like,
you know, there's a lot of people.
Well, you know, I mean, look, all books are different. I mean, sometimes the Kirkus won't work. You might get a Kirkus review back. It might not be positive. You might want to say, let me revisit that, or or you might not be happy because you wanted a positive review, you know, but then if you do get that positive review, you know, people really, really get picked up, and it's just, it's really interesting. I mean, it's still the entertainment industry. It's a little unpredictable. I mean, there are times when I'll read a review and I think, oh, God, this person is going to get flooded with queries, and they don't hear from a single person. And then another book I might, you know, there's a book last fall that I thought, I mean, the cover just really wasn't great, and the topic seemed a little odd, but the review was really positive, and I thought, well, we'll see how this goes. And in 1 week, he got a query from a Spanish publisher, a Swiss publisher, a U.S. agent, and a film company about film rights. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, sometimes you just never know, you know, but it's...
You don't know.
If you believe in this and you're investing your time, go for it. You know, see what happens. Worst-case scenario, you get professional feedback that maybe you don't like. Worst-case scenario, use it to get better.
Well, and honestly, and that's really not a negative if you think about it, because, you know, and I tell authors this all the time that are just starting out. I mean, and I'm not, you know, I haven't been doing this forever, but I have been doing this for, you know, about 7 years now. And and in being marketing, I mean, I really understand and sell, you know, that whole aspect of it. So I told him, I said, you know, you can't look at anything negative. I mean, even when I was a buyer and I was buying stuff for stores and we thought it was the hottest thing going to happen and it doesn't sell more than one piece.
Right.
You know, you learn from it. So every experience is a positive experience, even if it doesn't have the silver lining around it at all times.
Right. I agree on that. That's, you know, that's why this is a very interesting conversation today, because I think it's such a different conversation that we might have had 5 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is very positive for writers, I think.
Yeah,
you know, it's a good sign. And, you know, because I do hear this all the time, and I myself, I just can't, the marketing end of it is just not fun. It really isn't. It's not fun.
It's not,
you know,
easy.
Writing,
I mean,
is fun.
Yeah, and having the marketing background I do, I mean, trust me, I stopped doing it because I wanted to stay home and have more kids and be home for them because I was gone so much. And I was like, oh, I'll get into writing as a hobby, and I really liked it. And then as I started getting more involved in it, and this was, you know, way back in 2005, you know, I just sat there thinking at that point, like, oh my gosh, you know, if I really want to make a name for myself, I have to start marketing myself. I cringed. I was like, oh.
But like after talking to Meg, I'm actually considering again if Marcus Bryan, which is my agency, if we will take clients, and thinking that if they get, you know, go to Kirkus and do this, that it started again the way I did it years ago, but now to change it where people actually have more of a chance than they did before. So I think because years ago this was different. When you sent a review when you sent a book to get reviewed, they never told you how it was good. They would say, like, well, if we review it, we review it, and if you see it in the paper, if you see it in the journal, whatever, but you didn't know if it would ever be there because it may be in another state. So that was very different then. So now this, you can see everything and know where everything is going. So it's very different. So I'm thinking of this myself because I, you know, I do love what I do, and I just wished I could have helped more people, and I do think this might help some people really get out there.
You should also subscribe to Kirkus and start looking at the indie section. You might find someone you want to pick up.
Yep.
There's a lot of talent.
I can tell you how many people. I still get over like 500 or 600 a month people coming to me, and I don't know what to do anymore because I just don't, you know, I'm doing my own writing, and I don't, you know, and I don't know because I didn't know what to do anymore for people. I could not, you know, the publishers just weren't taking as many people. And but if what you're saying is probably, and I'm sure it's very true, if they get a good review, this is really a good help. And the publishers might check them out then. So I think
it's a way to start. You know, it helps in two ways. If your goal is to get published, I think it helps in two ways. You know, first, it can get you discovered just from being in Kirkus. Secondly, or you can attach that to your query and show that. But secondly, it can help your book sales. So in the Darcy Chan story, you know, when you sell over 500,000 copies of your book And if the Kirkus Review helped consumers feel more comfortable with that purchase, then if you build up that sales history, you're going to be a lot more attractive to a publisher, because publishers need to, not want to, they have to minimize their risk right now because, you know, like I said, the industry's kind of ugly out there, and they're dealing with their own issues. So it'll help them if they can say, hey.
Yeah. I agree with you because Virginia and I know the industry is different now. It's just changed, and, you know, people have to start going with the times and doing things that they didn't do before, and they have to do them now, and which is saving money to try to do some PR. You cannot do none. I mean, you just can't. Nothing will happen, and you have to spend some money.
You don't have to
spend thousands.
Yeah, well, I always tell people what you put in is what you're going to get out. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And people don't want to believe that, but it's the golden rule. It's always been there since, you know, the beginning of time. You know, what you put in is always what you're going to get out. It's that simple.
Yeah.
I think if people put together the money that they actually spend when they have to do the advertising and doing, you know, buying books, doing that, I think that, you know, spending maybe, you know, to try to get a publisher this way interested is not a bad thing because it's,
no, not at all.
You know, I agree. So, Meg, I really thank you for, you know, we're happy. We're very happy that you said all these things. Because it does change this for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is,
Well, thanks, Meg, for being on our show. It's been very eye-opening, and I'm definitely going to correct my mistake from many years ago. Not many, but a few years ago that I made with my
book. The only problem is I have, like, seven books. I have seven books, so I have to make a decision. Which one?
You have to make a decision.
Which one would be the one?
I kid you not. Like, every day for a week, I kept going to Kirkus and looking at the site going, I don't know. And now I'm sitting here kicking myself going, what? You know, I was obviously letting that old stupid rule prevent me from doing what I needed to do.
Yeah.
My book's doing okay, but it could have made a huge difference from it just doing okay. So I guess I'll find out now.
Now it's different, though. I think that your company has actually, you know, chosen to move on, and I am so happy about that because I think that's what people need to do. They need to change the rules a little because you can't use your same old rules from 20 years ago. It doesn't apply now. It's different. Your readers are different. It's a whole different ballgame. So I think this has been great. So thank you again. We really do appreciate
it. Thanks so
much. You're welcome.
We know our conversation. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So,
all right, there
Martin,
we go.
Did you want to share?
Yeah, I know.
Here I am, and everybody, my husband always jokes with me and says, you think you know everything, and here I am, where everybody in the world can hear me. I'm saying, I made a mistake. I should have done a Kirkus review back in 2009, and I didn't. So I'm going to correct that
mistake. Maybe not. You know why? Because it would have been different then.
That's true. It
Meg,
is.
Bringing Meg on board and
that's true.
The
last year has been when it's really made a change.
Absolutely. It wouldn't have mattered that. But now I think, it's a difference. Because when you're listening to all the things she said, they are positive things, and we know what's going on out there. And so I think that people should consider this and not, you know, and maybe not spend money on other things that isn't really getting them anywhere, because all we hear the same thing day in and day out. Nobody's getting anywhere. It's a round circle.
Well, and spending money isn't a bad thing, but the key is spending the money wisely. You know, really, it goes back to what I said. You have to sit down. You have to make a marketing plan, and there's a huge difference. And Johnny Tan talked about this last month when he was on our show. There's a difference between publicity and marketing. Publicity is building your author platform and getting your name out there and your book title out there. But then you have to market, which means getting the quality reviews. And if you're a self-published book and you're in the indie market, that means you're going to have to pay for some of those reviews because that's just the way the industry is. But if it's somebody like Kirkus, I have no idea if Midwest Book Reviews is charging or not because I haven't been on their site recently to check that out.
My opinion is, and I've said this many times before, if it's a good reviewer, and I really don't, you
then
know,
it's
and
okay
I know,
to pay.
You know, I think so now. I really do, because I don't think people should work for free. I mean, I've done it for many years.
We
can, really don't
especially
think,
with
and
the way the economy
is. I don't really
is.
Think so.
Well, and no one can now with the economy. Look how many businesses that do make money are folding because they're not, you know. The reality is you can't get everything for free, and sometimes free is not better because it's not the quality and it's not the reputation that you want tagged to you.
Yeah, I think this was very interesting. I'm really glad that we had her, and I'm very glad we had Emma on also, because I think that for myself as a writer, this really changes things the way the market is, and I'm so happy because these are the things that needed to be changed. And I think, so, Kirkus, you know, according to Meg, it is different. There's different people that are owning it now. That's it.
Well, and I've, like I said, you know, I've noticed as I've been looking into doing apps, which eventually we'll have a show and talk more about apps as well, because I'm in the process of having some done. And that
Me
was
too.
The thing that really helped change my mind, besides my soon-to-be 16-year-old son saying, Mom, that's like, that's it right now, apps. You know, I saw some of the Kirkus reviews about children's books and their interactive apps, and I went,
I am really
missing this market. So,
you know, and I also, you know, I didn't even realize something, you know, because I had talked to Fidelli. She's self-publishes for me, and she's been there for me all along. And I get the greatest feedback from her. But I said to her, I'm doing an app, and I want to know for my children's books what I should put them on, you know, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble. And she said the iPad store is, you know, that you have to be on the Apple to do. Right, and I'm on that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know half the things I'm on. So now, you know, but I have not promoted my children's books the right way. I know it. So, I mean, I'm doing the app also. And I'm going to have Joanne on. But, you know, as soon as you and I see how this all works and what people need to do, because she's very reasonable for what she's doing. So
yes,
when both of us have this on, we're going to see how this goes. But I didn't know about the iPad store
and I have not talked to. And I want to say, besides being reasonable, before she rolls something out to everybody, when she does it herself and she learns the ins and outs of it before she even offers the service. So, I mean, this isn't like someone just goes, this is a great idea and just, like, decides to start offering. I mean, she does her research, so...
Yeah, and that's why I found out, I didn't even realize that about the iPad store, but, you know, Robin from Fidelity, she said to me, put that in, so I will add that in, you know, but I think that just all the new techniques that are out, these things are working for people. They really are. It's not, listen, I love meeting all the people I met on Facebook, but that's not helping any of us, because it's not, I mean, maybe it's selling some books, but it's not getting anybody where they want to be. We can see what happens. They're very upset that they're not getting anywhere. So that's what our new goal is, to try to help them get somewhere. But we're also in the same boat.
Yeah, Facebook is where you go at least as an author, to build your author platform and do your marketing to help spread the word. You can't look at Facebook as because I'm on Facebook and I have, you know, 2,000 friends, I should sell at least 500 books. That's not what Facebook's about. It's about getting the word out, and that's it.
Right.
If sales come, fabulous. But if they don't, at least the word's out. And that's how you have to look at Facebook. And even Twitter, same thing.
Right. Yeah, so I do think, you know, and I felt this way for a long time, people have to pay for things, you know, and I'm willing to pay for things if I think they're good, you know, and because I know how frustrating it can be. So, you know, that's why we're both trying the apps, because I think this is a new thing now, you know, and I think that we like to try that to see how it is. And I have a feeling this could be very good, because everything is contained and people can see exactly where you are and what you've done on these certain books, whichever, you know. I was going to put all mine together, but now she suggested I don't, and I think that's what I'm going to do, is just separate my children's. I know I have to do this. So,
well,
you know,
I did. I did the same thing. I have Babysitting Sugar Paw. I'm doing an app for itself. And then I have Stories for Children magazine, not the whole company, just the magazine. An app for it, because there's so much that's going on with the magazine itself. You know, you don't want to information overload, but you do if, you know, like to do something for Stories for Children publishing would be insane, because I have too many subdivisions. But to do Stories for Children magazine, the thing is I can bring all of that information to one spot in the app, which is what I'm doing with the app with Joanne. And then from there, if they go to the magazine's website, then they can see the links to Stories for Children Publishing, to World of Ink Network, and to myself as my own author, and then, of course, to all my team as well. So it's a place to kind of get the core information, and then from there, the reader can branch out.
You know, right. Why don't you give your website before we go, and I'll give mine, and, you know, because I'm on yours, you know, not too. So.
Yeah, so I just rolled it out. Like I said, we're still making some tweaks and fixes because of how things work, which we'll have that on another show.
That's ongoing. Yeah.
we'll have that on a show as well about networking and building websites and stuff as well. But it's worldofinknetwork.com. It's our new website. It has a link to us here on BTR World of Inc. Network. It has a link to Michigan Avenue Media, which is Marcia's company.
Right, which is mine.
Partners.
So that's right. That's one thing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
It talks about the World of Inc. tours. It talks about the book trailer services. And then Marcia and I are right now behind the scenes, obviously, because we're not openly talking about it to the world. But we are talking about some services we do want to offer. Those pages... the tabs are there, but not all the information is there because we're still deciding how exactly we want to do it, because we want to do it in the most positive and beneficial way for authors. The World of Ink Network website is set up for authors and for even small publishers or self-publishers who don't have huge marketing budgets. We want to partner with you guys and help you because we know that that's the way, you know, the word's going to get out about these fabulous authors and books that are being produced. So... definitely check that out. And I think I just lost Marcia. So Marcia's website is MichiganAvenueMedia.com. And, again, you can also access it from the World of Ink Network.com. And we thank everybody for listening. She will be on next week with quite a few great shows, so definitely tune in and listen. A week from today, a week from this coming Friday, she has a fabulous show that she's doing. It's a special show for A Good Story is a Good Story, so definitely tune into that. Some great authors are going to be on there, and we wish you all a great weekend. Take care.
Follow me to the World of Ink.